fire storm. I remain on. Through the fire storm, I remain on. Trial by fire.
Trial by fire.
It's the trial by fire.
It's the trial
through the fire storm. I remain on. It's the trial by fire.
Welcome everyone to the Armchair Bookers Podcast. I am your host, as always, Joshua Joslin, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking about an AEW debut that maybe you heard about. I don't know, but I'm going to talk about it whether you heard about it or not. I'm also going to be talking about the Mania, WrestleMania card this week. While the shows were adequate, in my opinion, Raw and SmackDown, we did have a lot of matches pretty much announced, not pretty much announced, or strongly hinted to this week. So I'll be covering those and my excitement level for them. And yeah, talk about those developments and away we go. With that being said, let's hop in. Okay. We're going to start with Mercedes Moné debuting for AEW at their big business event in Boston. It was known, expected, as much as they said, maybe not. It was pretty much guaranteed that that's where she was going to debut, and debut she did. Quite a crowd reaction, which of course, you expect it, not only because she's back on mainstream TV in America, but also she was in her hometown. Great way to introduce her, in my opinion. Great promo from her. She looks amazing in terms of her presentation to establish herself different from Sasha Banks. I'm excited for them to have something to do with her. I hope that was part of some, you know, why she agreed to AEW, that they had a creative plan for her in place that's going to continue to build her brand. I don't know. I'm not, you know, behind the scenes. I'm certainly not a wrestling agent by any means, and certainly not a talent, although probably should be at least the official podcast of all of wrestling. You guys can all help that happen by subscribing and auto-downloading and all those things, telling your friends. But seriously, I thought it was a great debut. While the women's division in AEW is certainly growing, and I think has added amazing talent, and or not even, besides Moné, the talent that they already have there is amazing, right? She is added in and elevates it to a Hollywood level. A lot of money to be made with Mercedes Moné. She's a brand, as well as a wrestler, if that makes sense, and a lot of opportunity for her. Hopefully they maximize her and her talents. You know, I look at Paige, and she kind of fade away despite such fanfare and earned fanfare and excitement about her debut. You know, women's talent, while big and momentous, Deonna Purrazzo already kind of fade to the background. So here's hoping. Mercedes Moné definitely commands the screen, so just put her there and she'll make it work, and not just work, she'll make it happen. Unfortunate news with Darby Allin. He did break his foot in his, what was expected to be, not expected, it was his go-away match before he was going to embark on climbing Mount Everest, a pretty amazing personal goal that he had for himself. The storyline was expected to write him off by injury, despite we already knew that he was going to, you know, he announced that he was going to be going to climb Everest. That notwithstanding, he did suffer a legitimate broken foot, so that trip has been postponed from what I've read. Unfortunate, hopefully it wasn't from a spot that he went above and beyond for no reason. I don't make light of it. I'm serious. You know, maybe if it was, it would slow him down with some of the moves. I don't want to, that's not fair. Well wishes to Darby Allin. Hopefully he gets better quick, not just so we can see him back in the ring, but also so he can go and achieve something that he's worked very hard for and apparently is a life goal for him. So best of luck, Darby Allin, to quick recovery from your broken foot. I'm going to touch on Samoa Joe real quick. I love the work he's doing. I love Swerve. I talk about him all the time. Daniel Bryan is kind of boring to me. His matches feel very similar to each other, and whether he goes over or not, you know, I don't know. Tell me, yell at me all you want. I'm not into Daniel Bryan's current work. And I want to close it out with Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor show. It's going to be taking place down in Philly. I will be in attendance to that show. I cannot wait. I'll be taking my friend Mike, who is not a wrestling fan. He is a non-believer in the entertainment of wrestling, but he always entertains my wanting to see big shows like this. So he will be along with me. Hopefully I can get some words from him before the show and then some words after, and he'll tell you how sucked in and how amazed he was by getting to see the two announced matches so far. Eddie Kingston, the Ring of Honor champion. You all know how much I love Eddie Kingston. He'll be up again, going up against Ring of Honor Hall of Famer, staple of Ring of Honor, Mark Briscoe. That will be for the Ring of Honor Championship. I cannot wait. That's going to be a slugfest. You're going to be hearing like just backstage raw type of action, hard hitting. I cannot wait. As I love Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe as well, but Eddie Kingston's my guy. We're also announced that we'll see Athena, formerly known as Ember Moon in WWE. She is the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. She'll be putting that belt up against Hikaru Shida. That's going to be another really hard-hitting match. Athena can take to the skies a bit. I'm excited to see that. Hopefully they get a large amount of time. Ring of Honor is really dedicated more towards, I feel like, more towards wrestling and telling the story in the ring. So I'm excited for my buddy to see this. I'm excited to go see this card. It is the WrestleMania of sorts. So cannot wait. Cannot wait to talk about it as it gets closer. And yeah, boom. As I move on, before I move on to WWE news and developments, I do want to ask you all to like, subscribe, comment, tell your friends. Please select auto-download. Send me that auto-download. You know, you'll have me cataloged just so you can listen and catch up whenever you want, whether it's right away or not. I'm available to you at the click of a few fingers if you can auto-download, when you auto-download my episodes. Thank you very much. I'm Chair Booker's Podcast. What's up? On to WWE. I want to start with some really, really awesome news for wrestling, for WWE fans who hope to see with Triple H being at the helm and things that he's talked about in the past in terms of the quote-unquote forbidden door and his openness to working with other promotions. Are we seeing something? Yeah. Will it mean something bigger? Who knows? But we are seeing the forbidden door being open. It has in the past on a small level. This, I feel like, might be a little bit bigger. We have Shayna Baszler. She will be participating in GCW's event, the Josh Barnett Bloodsport show. It's no ropes. It's grappling. It's Greco-Roman style. It's hard-hitting. It's strong style. It's mat wrestling. It's catch-as-catch-can. It's just phenomenal entertainment. Really cool concept. Submission or pin only. Knockouts. It's pretty wild. It's a very, very awesome event, and I'm amazed and so happy that Triple H is allowing Shayna Baszler to take part. This is right up her wheel well in terms of what she can do, in terms of telling a story in the ring with her MMA background. From my understanding, Josh Barnett trained her, was one of her trainers for MMA when she was a UFC fighter. So really cool. I can't wait for that to come up and be able to talk about that. Triple H, man, absolutely spectacular. All right, so do you want to talk about the matches that solidified themselves, and because the card was relatively empty, but we're 3 weeks out, just under, and here we go with establishing what we're going to see. When, who knows, night one, night two, we're not sure, but the matches that are being added to the card. I'm going to start with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn winning a gauntlet match. It was himself and Gable, the two last participants. Whoever wins gets to go on to fight Gunther at WrestleMania. Wow, what a gauntlet match to, in totality, but Sami Zayn's work to win the last three pins, the last pin being Chad Gable to earn his spot. Gable's work has been so spectacular. It sucks to see him not get this opportunity, but at the same point, you know, Sami and the work he does, and it's not like he hasn't earned the opportunity. It is a tough call, flip of the coin type of call. I would have been happy with either result, but Sami beats Gable to go and fight. He will be fighting Gunther at Mania. I'm so excited. You know, I'm very excited for this match. Sami is going to sell like he's getting just demolished, and he's going to be by Gunther. He's a hard hitter. And then Gunther is just going to be dominant and tell, again, this big guy fighting an underdog, and then that underdog coming up from underneath to really start to rock Gunther. He does so well with that type of storyline and that type of match. I cannot wait to see this. So we have Zayn versus Gunther, Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. This match has already been established, but I'm going to focus on Drew McIntyre and the way he is carrying the feud for the World Heavyweight Championship, which is currently being held by Seth Rollins, who is currently embroiled as the player in The Rock, Cody Rhodes, Bloodline, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins saga. I'll get to that towards the end of the episode, dedicate some time there. But Drew is doing just absolute work. I'm rooting for him to win because I feel like he's more of the face despite the despicable things that he's done in terms of getting involved in matches and things that he has said. I'm rooting for him. I think Seth is just this cocky jerk of a champion, and he's playing the heel in my eyes in this feud. The fact that he's so committed to so many, you know, to a bigger situation, a bigger set, a bigger two matches, and a giant storyline that's been told over 4 years. It stinks for the belt. It stinks, I think, for Drew, because when he wins the belt, it's going to be more like, oh, thank goodness, not the reaction in the heart that I think he deserves, the big reaction, like the holy cow, yes, that he deserves to get that he didn't get during COVID. And by yes, I mean massive boos. Hopefully he's able to, not hopefully, he gets the reaction as being the heel because everybody loves Seth. So I will boo him because he is the heel, but I can't wait for him to put boots to Seth and win that belt. I'm very excited for that. Okay. Great promo from him. Just phenomenal. I'm so happy with Drew. The six tag team ladder match, big match, obviously, with 12 people being involved. It will be for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship, currently held by Judgment Day, Finn Balor, and Damian Priest. I'm not sure how the qualifying matches work, because we did see two matches at least, and one of them was Legado del Fantasma beating LWO. We also saw the new Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. We saw them go over Pretty Deadly. Are they in? Are they two of the six teams? Well, five, technically two of the five, counting, you know, Finn, are they in the match or not? I don't know. Hopefully they are, because I think that would be a great opportunity for all four of them, young, WrestleMania, well-earned, they're great workers. I love Pete Dunne, so I am a little bit jaded. I want to see him on WrestleMania doing something in a ring. I don't care what it is, really, and that's not true. I want to see him wrestling. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully those two teams are in, but I don't think it's solidified. Hopefully, you know, I don't know. All signs pointing to Santos Escobar getting his one. Well, Rey Mysterio getting his one match and some retribution against Santos Escobar at WrestleMania. That was, I feel like, written months ago. and Rey Mysterio got hurt, whether it was in story or not, I'm not sure, but he was off TV for a lengthy amount of time. He has made his presence known, and all signs point to them getting their chance to steal the show at WrestleMania. I can't wait to see that match. It is going to be Lucha Libre, obviously Lucha Libre, because that is their primary background. It's going to be really spectacular. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch. And again, this has been months of slow build storytelling. So it'll be cool to see it come to its climax at WrestleMania. LA Knight versus AJ Styles has been locked in. I love what AJ is doing with the attacks on LA Knight. I love what LA Knight is doing because he's really gotten himself over with the fans. They love him, whether you feel like he's borrowing or straight up stealing from other gimmicks, blah, blah, blah. Everybody took from somebody else. Hulk Hogan, looking at you there, brother. Check out Superstar Billy Graham. Put them next to each other. You're not going to know the difference if you don't really know the difference. So, yeah, I'm going to push all those criticisms aside and focus on the fact that he is doing great, great work. AJ Styles, top five in my opinion in the business, top three in the business probably. This doesn't take away from LA Knight's in-ring ability, which is spectacular. You're going to add the phenomenal one to LA Knight's already amazing abilities, and this is going to be another phenomenal, pun intended, and no pun intended, a little bit of both, match. Cannot wait for this one either. So far, everything that's been announced has really just gotten me so pumped for WrestleMania. It really, really has. Whether the storytelling has been flawless or not, the matches themselves are going to be so great in the ring. I'm not done yet, actually. We also have Jimmy and Jay, the Uso twins, going one-on-one, brother versus brother. The bloodline imploded based off of what these two have not been able to get on the same page about. They weren't costing each other matches. Just, it is time. Years of storytelling. Years of some of the best storytelling that we've seen in decades. It's all coming to the head for the Uso brothers. I can't wait to see Jimmy and Jay. I keep saying I can't wait because I can't. Jimmy versus Jay. Their story back and forth, the facial expressions, the body language that they're exhibiting and showing you on the screen, you can't write this better than what they're doing on screen. It's emotional, right? You take twin brothers, let alone twin brothers, and you're seeing them just get to a place where the only thing that we can do, the only thing that's left, is just throw down and fight this out. Really, really terrific. Years in the making. Going to be great. We got to see Damage Control. Their storyline really started to get hot with Bayley. Got some main event time. Have gotten more screen time on SmackDown. It is not too little too late. The storyline was put on the back burner. Very, very unfortunately. So to see it get some time now, it's good. It helps, obviously it helps, but it's taking it quickly. It's getting your interest in this very quickly because it is intense and it's storytelling again at its finest with so many different characters involved, so many different personalities. Naomi coming in out to help Bayley is interesting. I'm excited to see how that develops and what comes of that. But Bayley is it. She is it. And this is getting her, this is giving her that chance to shine at WrestleMania. And man, does she deserve it. All the ladies involved really deserve it. Damage Control kind of had an up and down, a bit of a roller coaster ride from when they were established to what they are now. They've really jobbed out for a long time before they've taken over WWE with the tag team belts and the women's SmackDown championship. Great work from all the women. Cannot wait to see what they put on at WrestleMania and what they put on for the next few weeks as we continue to build towards Mania. Bayley is going to take over. All right, so on to with the last few minutes here, last 15 minutes or so, we're going to talk about Cody Rhodes. We're going to talk about the Bloodline. I would love to say that we're going to talk about Cody Rhodes, The Rock, Seth, and Roman, but I'm not going to. I'm going to talk about Cody and The Rock. They were the two that were the focal point this week in programming. So that's what we're going to talk about. Cody cut a very emotional promo interview on Monday Night Raw, crying. You know, I love how he can tap into that piece of emotionality, that piece of storytelling that pulls you in and makes you feel like, yeah, I wish I could do that for my family too. I wish I could achieve that, whatever it is, teacher of the year, so I could get that plaque to hand to my mom. For him, it's get that Universal Championship so I can hand it to her in the front row. I can be the Rhodes family member that wins it for the family, hands it to mom. Put a pin in the whole hand the belt to mom emotional aspect of what Cody is talking about and dealing with this match going up against, not just the tag team match with him and Seth going up against The Rock and Roman, with the stipulation being Seth and Cody win, no Bloodline interference, it's just 1-on-1 between Cody and Roman, night 2. However, Rock and Roman win, Bloodline rules, which would mean everybody against Cody, all the Bloodline against Cody, including The Rock, who has taken on this superior Vince, Mr. McMahon-esque character, where he is the dominant authority figure and ready to flex those muscles and make sure everybody knows that he is everybody else's boss. So I like that piece to what he's doing. I personally love a good emotional, I'm a softy, I'm a sensey, as my friends call me, sensitive, sensey, when it comes to, you know, family ties and what you're doing in wrestling. I love that. And it's true, right? You believe what Cody is saying because it's not scripted. Like, it is, and it's not, because he's telling the truth. His family has been ingrained in wrestling, our staples in wrestling history. For this championship, the championship in all of wrestling, the most important in history, winning that belt as a member of the Rhodes family, the only one to do it, woof, it's amazing. So what Cody is doing with this story is great. I can understand if people are a little bit like, all right, dude, leaning into the family a lot, but that's the fact of it, right? It's family against family. It's the Rhodes family against the Bloodline. So shifting over from what the work that Cody is doing to put in and build two different matches to The Rock. No Roman on SmackDown, just The Rock, which continues to add to, you know, it's The Rock and everybody else. Oh, it's so hard to say I love The Rock, but I'm just not. He's just so not needed for this. He's not. But what we're getting is, I go back and forth on it, I'll be honest. The concert that The Rock had, very, very old school Rock, when he was a face and a heel, he's done these type of segments. It was humorous, but it's very 1990s, late 90s, early 2000s. The fact that he gets to curse and nobody else does, it just adds an ability for him to dig in deeper and be a little bit mean, which means he can borderline bury people. Cody is unburyable, but The Rock needs to be careful, I think, with his approach in certain aspects, because he's so tough to boo, but he is the authority figure, bad guy, bashing the good guy, the very established good guy. He didn't say anything bad about Memphis because he said that that's where his career started. But you need to be booed, Rock. Like, you needed to flip that promo onto Memphis during that song. For me, that would have been A plus. Otherwise, it was fine. It's entertaining, but it's not his work. Just I'm down on it. I'm down on his role in this whole feud. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. This is Rock. This is Roman and Cody. Rock, find a different thing to be doing. But you know, the intriguing part is the bloodline rules and what that's going to entail. Come Cody versus Roman Night 2 main event. But with that, is that going to outshine the overbook, possibly, one of the best stories and the most anticipated culminations of story in a very, very long time? We shall see, right? We have a few weeks to really see where that's all going to go. But I'm pumped. WrestleMania sounds terrific, and I didn't even mention the fact that the established Raw women's match being Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. That's been an interesting story. I think again, Becky seems distracted. It doesn't seem so much about the belt right now. It doesn't even seem so much about Becky. And Rhea, it seems like Nia Jax is still hovering around and making her presence known and taking the attention away from Becky and Rhea. Does that right, you know, is that leaning towards the possibility of them saying, you know, of them having an out for Becky to not win? She's distracted by Rhea, by Nia. Nia's been beating the crap out of her, so she wasn't fully healthy. I don't know, but either established. Make it known exactly why Nia gets to continue to hang around or get her away from it. That's my opinion on it. But we also have Liv Morgan hopping into things, and how is she going to play into this? Are we going to see a four women dance? Nia, Becky, Rhea, and Liv? Is that what they're leaning towards? I hope not, because I don't. That's a lot of. That's already a bunch of multi-person matches for big belts. I didn't even talk about. Oh my goodness gracious! We also got the U.S. title announced for the match for WrestleMania for the U.S. title. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. That is going to be a fun match. They're going to throw Logan Paul a beating. He's going to take one. It gives a few different outs. In terms of who takes the belt, there's an out for everybody involved. So it really does make me excited to see who's going to win. It would be really cool to see Randy Orton win the Intercontinental Championship. I forget when he had it last. It's been a very long time, I'm sure. Kevin Owens obviously is always a fun person to have a championship. Logan Paul is doing good work. But I have to admit it. It's true. He's doing good work with the belt. And he's putting shine on WWE, which is the point of being a WWE superstar. Yeah. Yeah, that. All that. That's what I said, and that's what I'm sticking to. Only a handful of weeks left. Less than a handful, excuse me. Only a couple weeks left as we move to WrestleMania. So, lots still to happen. All right. So, next week, I'm expecting a lot of focus on the established Mania matches. I think we're also going to see other matches who are either not official or hovering to become possibly official. I think we're going to see those developments as we're only, like I said, a couple weeks out from WrestleMania. I will hopefully be able to touch on AEW and what Mercedes Moné did to follow up her debut. We shall see. But while you wait for my next episode, like I asked earlier, please like, subscribe, comment, download, auto-download, tell your friends, anything you do to help the Armchair Bookers podcast grow. Thank you very much. Big shout out to my producer, my friend, John Kiernan, doing great work. Absolutely phenomenal artist. He is the artist behind my entrance theme here, Into the Fire, featuring Mont Easy. John Kiernan, my producer. Thank you. With all that being said, John, go ahead and throw me into the fire. That is Wrestling Podcasts. Thank you, baby.